everyone, and welcome back to Oh My Lanta.
Y'all, I think we're in for a wild ride because my brain cannot, like, keep one thought going at the same time. Or, like, huh? Like, I keep thinking of something and then my brain tangents, which, like, I guess that's what this podcast is, but sometimes I feel like I shouldn't have access to a microphone and to recording because, like, who genuinely cares other than this being, like, cathartic for me to just, like, talk everything out. It's kind of like venting, like when you have a problem or something and you just need to vent and get it off your chest. That's what this podcast is for me. It's just me talking about the random stuff that's in my head all day that I don't normally air out to the world. Also, my iPad's at 34%, so we'll see if it even stays alive for this whole recording. But, okay, so I have so many different random topics, and once again, none of them are really connected. And did I... Yeah, just... So let's start. I've been thinking about, like... I feel like iconic is such an overused word. Let's use the word... They're putting out the trash right now. Last episode was so quiet, you guys. I don't think I've ever gone that long in Chicago of having, like, silence, which is crazy. Now, granted, I do have my window open right now, but this heat is cranked up. It's hot. Like, it is so toasty in here. Which is good, because I have a roof over my head, and some people don't have heat or a roof. So let me be thankful and not complain. Anyways, I've been thinking about memorable, like, songs from childhood. I say childhood, but really I mean, like, the teen years. And I keep thinking about, like, Disney Channel songs and stuff like that. And obviously there's, like, the typical ones, which is, like, High School Musical or, like, Camp Rock. Or feel like Lemonade Mouth. But I keep thinking about the song On My Own from Teen Beach Movie 2, and it's Ross Lynch. And, like, sometimes I will go through a period where I just listen to that song on repeat, repeat, repeat. I love that song so much. That was such a big sigh. I also, oh my gosh, I love the song Unsaid Emily from Julie and the Phantoms. Those two songs go, like, hand in hand, and they will make me sob, and they, like, I feel like they're, like, etching. Like, with, like, the little, like, I don't know, the etcher tool and then a hammer, like, etching away at my heart and, like, my soul. I love those songs so much. I guess, really, those are the only two songs I'm thinking about right now. Yeah. Oh, there's also Hero, but Hero Unplugged from Starstruck. Such a good song. Sterling Knight. Is that his name or was that his character? No, I think it's Sterling Knight. That's the actor. He sings that. It's so good. Yeah, there's so many good songs out there.
That was such a quick topic. This is what I'm talking about, you guys. Everybody buckle in. And hey, you don't have to stay, and that's okay. I remembered to say it. I think I deserve a round of applause. Wow, yeah! Hoo, 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 hoo. Anyways, I like it too how I'm just in a room by myself doing all that. Like, should I be embarrassed? I'm not. But should I be? That's the real question. No, okay, so... it's gonna make me cry thinking about it. I cannot stop listening to the song My Days from The Notebook, the musical. And I think it's Joy Woods is her name. She sings it and it's just the most beautiful song. And I feel like that's, like, been, like, my mantra. And, like... Oh, you guys need to go listen to it if you haven't. It tears up everything in me because it makes me feel so seen. It really does. Like, I don't know.
I talk about this so much, but let's talk about it some more. Let me air it out some more. But I feel like, you know, in society and stuff like that, there's such an expected, this is what your life is going to look like. You're going to work a 9-to-5. You're going to get married. You're going to have kids. You're going to get old. Your kids are going to have kids. You're going to have grandkids. And then you're going to die. I feel like that's what life is painted out to be. And it's not that way. And we don't have to follow those paths. We can if we want to. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's nothing wrong with, like, not following that path. Or, like, you know, not instantly finding your forever job. You might never have a forever job. It might be a couple jobs that you work for 2 years and 2 years and 5 years and 7 years and 1 year or 6 months. You know, like, it's what pays the bill. But, like, it's what you do in your spare time that should, I don't know, should also be bringing you happiness. Not that your job shouldn't be, but, like, I don't know. It's just, it's so crazy navigating this world and trying to find what meaning is to you. Because I think for so long, society has told us what meaning is and the structure of what it looks like. And it's like, it's just not feasible anymore in today. Who am I? What am I doing? I just think about that stuff a lot because I see it affect the people around me too. And then I see some people that are like constantly succeeding and it's really hard to not compare yourself to them. And I've been guilty of that, of comparing myself to others as far as like, oh, they're married or they have kids or they have them on the way or they're engaged or I don't know, whatever. Or they're just being really successful in their career path. Like, it's so hard to not trap yourself in the world of comparison. And like, I don't know, it's finding, you have to find how to be content with your life. And if you're not, how you can change that in an effective way, but like, it also shouldn't become like this whole stressful, I'm going to, like, I don't know, self-destruct myself and like those around me kind of a way. I don't know. It's so scary, the unknown, which I feel like is such a normal thing to say. Like, of course it's scary. You don't know what it is. But like, to know, like, saying like and a lot. But I know that like God has a path for me and that I'm going to have an end to my story. I don't know what that is. And that's scary to me, but it's so hard to let control go in the sense of like, it's funny, I was talking to one of my friends and I said something to the effect of like, you know, how can you find, oh, this person's starting their car. oh man, how did I word it? It was basically like, I'm not going to be happy in the here and now if I'm focused on if I'll be happy in 10 years or like in 2 years or in a week or if what I'm doing now is going to affect my happiness and that, like, then. Like, how can I be happy now when I'm worried about that? And I think that's very true. Now, granted, that makes sense to me. It might not make sense to others because I might be wording it stupidly. But alas, here I am. It's just, life is so, it's heavy. It's heavy. It has mass. It takes up space and it's so hard to remain positive and not let it get the best of you. I don't remember if I've talked about this, but I won the Optimism Award in 8th grade for our middle school graduation. I won the Optimism Award for the females and I would just like to think that it still shines in me optimism, but dang, some days I am glass half empty. I want to be negative Nancy. Poor Nancy. She has to be a negative person. Or negative Nelly. But it's just, it's hard. It's hard sometimes to remain in that optimism and like, and to just surrender to whatever happens, and how you move with it and through it that matters, I guess. Yeah. Wow, how did I go from memorable childhood Disney Channel songs to this? Okay, now this is just kind of snarky and also another Haley thing, which is just funny because I said optimism and then I'm going to say this. But do you guys ever just want to say to someone, or like, have you ever thought when someone's like telling you something and I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing. This is so annoying. Do you ever just like want to say, or do you think to yourself, did I give you the impression that I care? Because some people, I'm telling you, will just go on and on. Now, granted, I am probably those some people to some other people. But, like, I'm just sitting there or, like, standing or whatever or listening and just thinking, like, did I do something to make you think that I care about what you're saying? And now that sounds so mean. But sometimes I'm, like, I'm losing valuable information or, like, memories in trade of the story that you're telling me. my dad used to say, like, he would memorize all like Monster High doll characters, or I just say Monster High characters, or like Ever After High or My Little Pony, yada yada yada, all the things I collect. He would memorize them and he'd say, Haley, for every new character I learn of yours, I'm losing a valuable Star Wars character name or Star Trek name or like one of his characters' names. And that's how I feel sometimes when I'm listening to stories about things that I'm like, I have no idea who these people are. They have no effect on my life. I'm just listening and being a kind person. But at the same time, I'm like, am I losing memories? Or like what I was supposed to go buy at the store in trade for your story? It's probably not how that works, but it's just so snarky. But I just laughed to myself today when I thought of it. Just like, did I give you the impression that I care? That would just be crazy, though, to just, like, say that to someone. And you know there are probably people out there that would do that. Like, oh, man, that would just be wild. Yeah, so that's something I thought of today and I wrote down and it made me laugh. One of my best friends is coming after Thanksgiving and we're gonna spend the weekend together and I'm so excited. And so she loaned me these books, two books. One's like 500 pages. It's glaring at me now, right on my bed. And then there's a little like novella that goes with it. Or novella. Why did I say it like that? Novella. It made that sound really white. But I was laying in bed last night looking at my bookcase because I had just reorganized it. And I'm like, oh, those are hers. And now, granted, I got these back in July. Have I touched them? No. And I see her in 2 weeks. And so I did the math. And for the 500-page one, if I read 34 pages a day, I will have it done in 2 weeks because I'm recording this on a Thursday. So I will have this done in 2 weeks if I at least read 34 pages a day. So if I read a little bit more, then maybe I'll have the novella read too. Because that one's like significant. Like it's literally like just a smaller book. Like in literal size and then pages. But it's my little mission. We'll see if I stick to it. It's just so hard for me to start like a new series. It's one thing if it's like a second book in a series or something or whatever, like continuing on a story that I've read. But man, starting a whole new like world
is something else. All like the world building and stuff. I get so, my brain gets like worn out when I've read the books, The Fourth Wing and the, what is that? The second one called? The Iron, no, the Flame Tail, Iron Flame. I don't know. I think I'm wrong. Those books, I've read both of those and I read them both on my Kindle. So it's so funny. I forget how big those books are. And then I see them in person and I'm like, oh yeah, they are like 450 pages or like 500 pages. And then I feel very accomplished, but like with those books, it's crazy because I get so invested into them. And it's funny too, because like I can hyperfixate on a book for a little bit and the moment that I lose that hyperfixation, it's impossible for me to read it. Like I cannot get my brain to go back into it. When literally if I probably gave it two more chapters, I would dive back into the book, into the story. But I don't know. I lose my reading bug that fast, which is so unfortunate because I do really like reading. But the crazy thing is that when I was finishing the first book of that series, the third one's coming out in January. When I was reading the first book and I was like nearing probably the last like 150 pages, I was binge reading and it was like 2 a.m. and I just was reading. And it was so funny. I paused to go use the restroom and I came back to bed and I kept reading as I was on my way back, which I mean, I'm literally like 5 steps away from my bathroom. All I was thinking to myself was like, I can't wait to keep watching my show. And I literally said aloud, I'm like, girl, you're not watching a show, you're reading a book. But that's what I love, because like, it's that moment as a reader. I don't know if other people have experienced this. I'm sure they have. But when it's like, I don't even see, like, I don't even feel my eyes like moving anymore to read like the words, but I just see all of the action happening like in my head. And then I kind of forget that I'm reading. Has anybody else had that, or do I just sound crazy? Like, if I ever, no. Let me change the wording on that. Here's the wording. I would believe that that is what hard drugs feels like. Yeah, sure, that works. Made it sound like I did hard drugs. Haven't, won't ever. Anywho. But like, if someone were to tell me that they're like tripping out on like acid or something, I would believe that that's like what they see. Because I'm telling you guys, it just felt like, it feels like I'm just looking straight ahead at the book, like to the page that I'm reading. And I just am watching it. Like I'm watching the scene happen in my head and with the characters and like the costumes or the outfits I've designed them in and the scenery and stuff. And which is so crazy because my imagination of it could be totally different than so-and-so over here. Like it could be completely different. And isn't that so fascinating? Like that would be so cool if, oh, I love it. I would love it if someone could just like hardwire or like plug in a little like thing and like cord into my head, and so I could watch my dreams. Because you guys, I have the most like vivid dreams ever, I'm telling you. And now it depends, because sometimes like if I'm really tired, I go to sleep and I open my eyes and then it's my alarm, and those nights are the worst because I feel like I didn't sleep. But when I dream, like there's some effect that happens like in my chest. I used to have this a lot when I was a kid, or just when I was younger. But when I would fly in my dreams, the perfect way for me to describe flying is like a kite. Like it would keep like bobbing down and then catching up and down. And like that's what flying in my dreams always felt like. And when I would wake up in the morning from it, I could like, it was like that. Like I could feel it like in my chest, like in my lungs. And it was always so trippy. And I would frequently like write about like the scenery that was around me or the people. I would try and like draw the people in it, because sometimes like 9 times out of 10, I wouldn't recognize who was in the dream with me. But it's that whole thing of like, oh, your mind can't make up faces or something like that, which I think that's crazy. What do you mean I can't make up a face? if I've seen people, why can't I just take a bunch of features from different people and make a person? But I guess that's not how it works. But like, also, it's so cool too, because there would be several different, I'm like stuttering too. There would be like different like places, settings of my dreams, and then different dreams would happen in those settings. Like there's always this, it's so funny. I feel like the youngest or like oldest memory I remember having is, or dream I remember having from when I was my youngest, was a Scooby-Doo one, and a centaur was chasing us in like this like maze. And it's kind of like a hedge maze like that, but there was also like this like like brick entryway with like these like the fire I was gonna say the fire stick thing, you know, like in National Treasure. You know what, maybe it was inspired by National Treasure. And like, and they go in and he lights up the, what, a torch, that's the word I want. And Nicolas Cage's character lights it, and it goes like, and like lights up the whole room. That's kind of like what the entrance was like, but it was just like two torches. But it was like grand with like the entrance, and then it was a hedge maze. But anyways, a centaur was chasing me and Scooby-Doo and the gang. But sometimes I will have dreams in that same like hedge maze place, and it's so weird. And there's also this like house, I don't know, I'm going into this stuff and this literally doesn't matter. I just like, does anybody else have vivid dreams like that? Does that mean I have like some special gift or something? Am I like clairvoyant or something? Is it anything that could get me on America's Got Talent? What do we think? How are we feeling about that chat? Yeah, I don't know. I love it though. And I've had it, you know, I pretty frequently can wake up from a dream and instantly go back into it. I know some people that like wake up and they can't, or like they just can't fall back asleep. I can wake up from a dream and be up for like a half hour and instantly go back into the dream. And I think that's a crazy superpower that I have. But it's the worst though, when you wake up from a dream and it's like getting to like a good part, or like, I don't know, mine's always like action or something, like, and it's like this big like reveal or something's about to happen, and I wake up and then I only have like 3 minutes till my alarm goes off. That's the worst. It's literally, it's awful waking up a minute or like even 5 minutes or whatever before your alarm. Like, it's so frustrating. It's the biggest like letdown of life, I feel like. Oh man, this is, see guys, this is what my brain is like. I literally just like, as a kid, okay. See, I'm going all over the place, but in my head it makes sense of how I just got to this point. As a kid, I don't remember if I've talked about this, but when we would like drive past the like a stoplight or something, I used to think that there was like this little headquarters in the stoplights. I didn't see this anywhere. This is just what my imagination made up. There's a little headquarters, and there were these different colored like bugs. They kind of looked like the little like nerds things, caricatures. But there was a yellow, there was a red, and there was a green. And then I didn't really have an explanation for the turn signal. But each time that the light lit up, it was them pushing their button, which is so funny because when Inside Out came out, I literally was like, that is what the headquarters of the stoplight bugs, stoplight creatures look like. I was like, they took it out of my mind because that's literally what I imagined that as. Or like, as my head, like I always like imagine a big like filing cabinet of all my things, and some like little thing like my, I don't know, my conscience or whatever would walk over and be like, vroom, and then like flipping through all of my my memories or stuff like that. Or I'd have like a little Rolodex, and it'd be like
That's my Rolodex sound, I guess. And be looking for like the name of this person. And if I'm just looking at them, like, where do I know you from? But it was so crazy when Inside Out came out, because I was like, that's literally what I've imagined for A, inside my brain, and, well, no, A, inside the stoplights, and B, inside my brain. Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. It's just a big filing cabinet, and my little dude or dudette in my head right now is like just going through it all and seeing what takes. Oh, I had this note down. Back on my reading. So I have this thing where like I like to listen to like medieval tavern music when I'm reading, like the fourth wing, it was a vibe having that playing. But sometimes I get too distracted or the music gets too intense. Like one time I had Lord of the Rings playing soundtrack, and it was like Battle of the Uruk-hai or something. And I'm like, okay, I cannot focus. Or, oh man, is it Rohan? The when that starts playing, I just get emotional. And I was like, okay, I literally can't read anymore. I just need to listen to the song. So I found out, I don't know if you all know, I learned this about 2 years ago when I was at Disney. When I was working at Disney, because I used to read a lot on my breaks, which is crazy. Like I read so many books when I lived there. But I was trying to like find some kind of like white noise to listen to just like block out all the sound, because I just needed to zone out. And white noise was too harsh. Well, I found out that there's brown noise, and it's just like a sound effect. And there's like 12-hour playlists on Spotify, and I crank that sucker up in my ears, and then, which it's not like piercing loud, like it doesn't like hurt my ears, but it just kind of like zones everything else out, or like tunes everything else out, and it's great. I love playing that, especially in public when I'm listening. When I'm like trying to read, so on my lunch today, I was trying to read and they had music playing in the little like cafeteria area. So I put on brown noise and I could still hear it kind of, but it really like canceled out all that background noise and stuff, which I really like. But they also have like so many different others. There's pink noise, which that one sounds like she's cutesy. it's a mix between like, I feel like brown and white noise. But they have a bunch of different types, and I don't know, you guys should look into it. They have it on like Spotify. They'll just have like long playlists or something like that. Like literally the brown noise one I have is 12 hours. So it's kind of fun because I just keep playing it from where I was at. So then in a way I can kind of see how long I've read for, like in the 12 hours of this playlist, how far am I going to be into this book? Which is cool because I'm almost 50 pages in and I only started reading today, and I think I listened for like 30 minutes to 45. So like that feels pretty cool or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. This is random, but my friend Keiko from Disney, which I met her on my first day there. It was so funny. She texted me and she said, whenever she sees a Diet Coke, she thinks of me. And honestly, everyone, I think that's the legacy that I want to leave on this world. So many people want to make a difference, do that. I just want people to look at a Diet Coke and think of me. Or a Diet Dr. Pepper. I love a little Diet Dr. Pepper. Which honestly, I think it's kind of starting to take first place. But there is just something that will never, ever, ever, ever top a crisp Diet Coke from McDonald's. Like, that is the crackiest of crackiest drinks ever, ever. Also a sweet tea from McDonald's. That is like 8 gallons of sugar. But gosh, that is on a hot summer's day and some sweet tea from McDonald's. Are you kidding me? It's so good. Anyways, back to my aspartame. But it also makes me think of one of my best friends, Jess. Well, we were talking one time and, or no, we were out at Texas Roadhouse getting dinner, and I got like, I don't know, I was chugging the Diet Coke, admittedly, and I think I was on like number three, and she said, "Get that aspartame breath out of my face." And I think about that so often. It's just so funny. And I had her agree with me that if I go before she does, that she'll put a crisp Diet Coke in my coffin. And she's loyal for that. So thank you, Jess. And thank you, Keiko, for thinking of me every time that you see a Diet Coke. Now I need all of you guys too. And I say all of you guys, but it's like maybe 20 people, but that's still pretty cool. I was looking at the website that I use to put my podcast out. I have almost 400 total listens, which is cool. I mean, like, it's over 11 or 10 episodes right now. I mean, this will be number 11, but that's the 400 is over 10 episodes, but like, that's really cool still. Doesn't mean I have 400 listeners, but on my first episode, I think I have like almost 80, which is crazy. Now, it has just gone down per episode. But for those of you that still listen and like to hear me laugh at myself and slip into really dumb accents and things like that, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. it's just, oh, it's so funny. Something that I was thinking about, because I was thinking about like the holidays and stuff, go figure. But I was thinking about the movie theater and like the movies and stuff. I really want to go see, oh, what's the name of it? I have it right here. Let me see. It is called, oh, We Live in Time. I want to see that movie so bad. But it's so expensive here in Chicago to go to the movie theater. I kind of can't rationalize it. It's like $16 for just the movie, like no popcorn, no nothing, which granted, this goes into my next point. When I think of like holidays, for some reason, I think of like, well, I definitely think of movies, but I think of like the movie theater. And man, we obviously got to sneak in the candy. My dad wears his iconic cargo shorts per Midwestern dad attire, or uniform I should say, and the Skechers shoes. Yeah, that's the Midwestern dad uniform. But, or maybe it's just like the dad uniform, but I don't know, for some reason I'm just gonna call it, I think it's the Midwestern dad. But he would put like the candy in his pockets, and then to little me, he would jump in the parking lot making his pockets like jingle or whatever, or rattle with the candy, and I'd be like, "Dad, stop!" Like, I thought we were like gonna get like put in jail for bringing in candy. But something else that my family would do when it was like all three of us, my parents and I, when we go to the movie theaters together, we'd bring bowls. My mom would always carry in a plastic bag with our yellow bowl, which I love that yellow bowl. Mac and cheese is the best in that yellow bowl, which I'm pretty sure I took it from my aunt because I took it home from a Christmas party or a New Year's party with a bunch of M&Ms in it when I was a little kid. So thank you, Aunt Linda, for my yellow bowl that I forever love mac and cheese in. But, and then we'll also have like another bowl, and it's so funny too, because they're just like kid bowls. Like, I think the other one is like farm animals. But we'll bring bowls, and then our own tiny, literally tiny little salt shaker full of, it's like the popcorn, like seasoning. It was like the orange season. I don't know. It was like an orange seasoning, and then it would have a piece of tape over the top. So it wouldn't spill. And we'd bring it to the theater so that my dad could have the popcorn bucket. And then periodically he'd refill both of my mom's and my bowls. And that's what we would do at the movie theater. And then we'd each have like a box of candy. And mine would usually be chocolate Raisinets or Charleston Chews. You guys, Charleston Chews, for some reason, just is so, I feel like, It's such a dated candy. But if you guys put those in the freezer, careful with your teethers. But those in the freezer are so good. I love to deconstruct my candy. My two favorite ones to do this to, I think I've also talked about this, is the Kit Kat and the Twix, which I hate that that whoever it was, Courtney or whatever, Kardashian, like, talked about taking apart the Kit Kat, because I did that without having a platform to talk about it on. And now I guess I have a platform that I gave myself, whatever. But I love deconstructing my candy, or like just like, or Butterfinger. I haven't had a Butterfinger in years. But like biting off the chocolate around the edge and then the like scraping it off the bottom and then the top. I think I've talked about doing that with Tombstone pizzas too. I love deconstructing food. I don't know what's wrong with me. I should probably get tested to see if I tick any boxes in the mental department, because I feel like that's got to be a sign, right, y'all? I mean, there's something going on upstairs. but yeah, I also remember my parents, they told me that back in the day, they one time brought popcorn chicken from KFC to the theaters. Where was I? A glimmer in their eyes. I never got to experience this. And I just think that's iconic. I remember one time when I was sitting in the theater, I don't remember what movie I was seeing or who I was with, but I just remember smelling Chipotle, and I looked over and someone was eating a whole Chipotle burrito. And honestly, in that moment, it was like a revelation that I was like, oh yeah, I have free will. And I could have totally just done the exact same thing and shoved that in my purse and brought that in. Because here's the thing, a couple of my friends used to work in movie theater, but one of them told me, they were like, unless we like have reason to believe that you have an alcohol, like a bottle of alcohol on you, or like it looks like there is, we can't check you, we can't look through your stuff, we can't ask to see anything. Now I don't know if that's true, but back in my day, so in like 2018, that was what they said was the case. I don't know what it is now, but I also think it's crazy too, because like, you don't go through a metal detector when you go to the movie theater. I feel like you should, shouldn't you? Or like, there should be security. Like, that's such a vulnerable place to be. And once again, this is me thinking of the worst outcome, but I'm also like a, what is that? A doomsday like planner or something like that, I guess. Now, I'll never have like the big shelter in my backyard down deep in the ground, but like, I'm always looking at my exits. I know where things are. I watch things and the reflections and stuff like that. And very aware of my surroundings, even though it might not seem like I am. But I always like look for my exits and stuff like that, because like anybody could bring any weapon into a movie theater. You're just sitting there. And that's such like that's the crazy thing. I saw someone, it was like the Terrifier movie or whatever, and someone came in dressed like what is his name? Art the Clown. Someone came dressed up as him. My thing is that literally could have been a crazy murderer and killed all of them. And you're just sitting there in the theater and you might get a little freaked out by that person, but like, you don't know if they're crazy or not. How did they get in? Like, that's so creepy and you're so vulnerable. But you know what I am going to be vulnerable in? When I see We Live in Time. Because I am ready for that movie to make me cry. It's with Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield, which like, I think they're both my top crushes. I think Florence Pugh is my top female crush, and Andrew Garfield, like, he's had my heart since I was 13. We have photos in our family iPhoto of Andrew Garfield, because they were on my old iPod, and when my iPod would sync up, it would download the photos of Andrew Garfield into our family iPhoto. So it's funny. funny because my mom or something like that, this happened one time, she was going through iPhoto and I was standing there and we were like looking at old Christmas photos and she's like, yeah, here's this and your grandma and this, and she's like, oh yeah, Andrew Garfield and then this, and it's like it's just it's nothing surprising that that's there because we all knew my face. I literally like they're just like his like photo shoots for like magazines and stuff like that, like nothing like weird. I mean, it's still weird that I had a bunch of photos of Andrew Garfield. I was obsessed, okay? I was 13. I had a Spider-Man comforter when I was 15. I had taste is really what I'm saying. But and also the comforter was on sale on Black Friday and it definitely was obviously for little boys. It was literally a twin size bed, which is what I had. So it's just really funny. I had a little boy comforter bedding when I was 15. But I literally had an Andrew Garfield photo album in my camera roll on my iPod. So, yeah. Okay, that's enough of embarrassing myself. This 40 minutes has gone by very fast. Honestly, I don't think I have much more to say, you guys. I feel like I've touched on a decent amount of stuff. I also feel like I've talked about nothing at the same time. So it's going to be really fun coming up with the title and coming up with the description for this episode. yeah, you guys, we're only 2 weeks out from, well, from when I'm recording this. So I'm recording this on the 14th. We're 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. We're 2 weeks away from turkey. Oh man, I hope I get mashed potatoes of some sort. Am I gonna? I don't know. But turkey, oh man, I love my dad's turkey that he makes. It's so good. Oh man, yeah, I'm so excited. But we're only 2 weeks out from Thanksgiving. This is crazy. I'm excited. The time is going by so fast. I gotta get my Christmas presents together. I feel behind, even though really I'm not. But I don't know about y'all, but maybe you guys are stressed a little bit too. Yeah, that's all I gotta say, you guys. Have a great week. Happy Monday when this is coming out. Today is the 18th when this is coming out. And I hope you guys have a great week. Love you all. And this has been Oh My Lanta.